bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, tonight, game number 156 in the regular season, and tonight the penultimate game here at Camden Yards in the 2017 regular season. Tonight, the Orioles against Tampa Bay in game 3 of a 4-game series. Orioles here tonight trying to get back in the win column, if you will, after Ubaldo Jimenez last night gave up 6 runs on 8 hits, a grand slam, and a solo in only 3 innings of work. For Ubaldo, it could have been his Camden Yards swan song. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
Rakabatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, quick look back at last night's game. Ubaldo Jimenez, 6 runs over 3 innings. Primarily the 2 pitches that you'd like to be able to get back, the hit by pitch on the 0-2 count, and obviously the grand slam.
Yeah, it was, he's trying to go in and jerks it too far and hits the guy. He's got him down a count and got a good chance to put him away. Actually had pretty decent stuff. And then a couple of CNI singles and, throws a fastball right down the middle that the guy puts, in the seats, and we're down 4-0. But I think more disappointing is that we come back and get back in the game real quick, 4-2, and then we get walk back out there and give 2 right back to him, and that really sucked the energy out of a lot of things.
And I don't know how much you've got the rotation set for the remaining 7 games here, but, I mean, is there a possibility that Ubaldo gets another start?
Well, as opposed to who, that's kind of where we are. We've got some health issues we're keeping our arms around, and, we're going to take it day to day. We're going to try to put our most competitive foot out there, and we'll see if not him, then who.
What about Chris Tillman? Is there any possibility of him getting another start?
They're all in play, Rock. At this point, I think my priorities right now are keeping a close eye on Dylan and Goss physically and making sure that they end the season healthy and ready to go for next year.
Rakabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, the club needs to run the table now in the last 7 games to finish 500. How aware do you think players are in that clubhouse, having done the numbers? Are they crunching the numbers and saying, okay, we need to now, in order to finish 500, win X number of games? And how much of a pride factor kind of kicks in with that? I know there's pride anyway, but to not finish below 500.
I don't think they're looking at it that way at all. And until you just told me that, I didn't know either. It's about trying to, it's either get in the playoffs and get a chance to roll the dice, and then the rest of it's kind of academic. You could say that, but there is a certain amount of pride involved in that. People put that as a barometer for some reason. I don't put 500. I want us to win the amount of games it takes us to get in the playoffs and get a chance. And it's going to be tough.
Jake Odorizzi on the mound tonight for the Rays, who obviously you've seen a lot. Is he kind of the ultimate reverse splits guy? And why is that? What is he doing that he always lefties have more trouble with him?
Well, it's the changeup. He changes eye level. There's a different approach he takes. Fortunately or unfortunately, we have a very right-handed dominant lineup, which is unusual and something that we really need to address. But tonight it should be a positive for us. But he throws their whole staff likes to throw fastball about an inch or two above the strike zone. They all have a splitter, a changeup, and they all are willing to pitch inside and keep you honest there.
Jeremy Hellickson getting another start tonight for the Orioles. Hasn't cleared 5 innings in 3 of his last 4 starts. I know you guys were obviously expecting better from him. What has been going on with him? Why has he struggled in these outings?
Well, they're very similar. When Wade struggles mildly a little bit, it's just, I won't say picking, but they're just barely off the strike zone, and they get a lot of counts turned around, and that should be in their favor. When they're working ahead and counting and locating a fastball, that opens up the whole repertoire because these guys are so much more than one-pitch pitchers. But, the thing to look for early tonight, if he can command the fastball.
And finally, Buck, the winners of the organizational awards are going to be honored tonight, minor league awards. And Butch Davis is receiving an award for player development. Was that one of the bigger additions of the offseason? He was the Twins' first base coach for 2 years and ends up coming back, and the work that he did at Bowie.
Well, I think there's 2 or 3 things. One, there's a number of people they could have given it to. I think our farm player development situation is in the best it's been since I've been here. The people we have down there are who's who. We just got to get them the players, and which we have some, and obviously got to continue. It's tough to do. But, you know, they're operating without, you know, a lot of input from the Latin American program, which we've got to get better at. But Butch is a guy that was in the big leagues last year. Loved it here, wanted to come back. You know, some people would have thought it was beneath him, but he hit the ground running like it was his first day in professional baseball. And that's why everybody loves Butch. And the work that he did with the hitters, he and Jeff Manto down there, our hitting coordinator, over the course of the year, and you see how many hitters prospered underneath their tutelage.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
You heard Rock Tobacco and Buck Showalter talk about Butch Davis, and that he is the Orioles Minor League Coach of the Year. It's called the Cal Ripken Award to Butch Davis. Outstanding work in player development. And Butch Davis and Jim Hunter, they got together before the game today, and that is next as we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
Big night here at Camden Yards as the Orioles honor their minor league award winners, and this is the Great Clips pregame show. Next time, save time with the new online check-in app from Great Clips. No more waiting around, because now we'll be waiting for you. Download our free app today, Great Clips. It's going to be great. Up next, we'll chat with Butch Davis, the recipient of the Cal Ripken Senior Player Development Award for Coach of the Year, on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Rays, game three of this four-game series here this weekend, and a special night at the ballpark as the Orioles will honor their minor leaguers in visiting now with Butch Davis, who has been named the Coach of the Year, which means you received the Cal Ripken Senior Player Development Award. And anytime you could get an award named after senior, that's special, isn't it?
That's very special. With his legacy that he had left here, it's very special, and I'm very honored.
But you spent the last 2 years with Paul Molitor as the first base coach of Minnesota, and now back in AA. Does it take a special mindset to accept the fact that you are a very good teacher and AA is where the calling was?
It does, put it back into perspective for me, I guess. You know, by me going over for 2 years, I got a chance to see another side. And by me going back to the typically, since I played there for a couple of years now, then I got a chance to coach. It's a different perspective going when you're on the field, the major league side and the minor league side. So when I came back in, I saw things differently then.
What is the biggest challenge of trying to coach prospects and help them improve, in particular the players that maybe they're pretty good in two areas, but there's five areas to a major league player? What is the biggest challenge in trying to help them?
I think is that trying to get them to believe in their ability. You got to stay positive with them. You got to let them understand that they're going to have ups and downs. Try not to beat themselves up. And talk about having a routine, something that they can always rely on, go in every day and do the same thing over and over again as a routine, which then it become repetitious, and then hopefully it'll translate to the field.
I remember Alan Mills told me that when he started coaching in the minor leagues, one of his frustrations was that some of the pitchers, they seem to have all the answers. And he learned, well, I think I'm going to step back and wait till they need me. And then he became effective. Is it similar in your career?
It is. You know, when hitters first come to you, one thing that I learned over the years to do is just to sit back, watch them play, let them fail a little bit, and then I come in. Because if they're having success, leave them alone. You know, don't mess them up. You just wait. Just, you know, keep your notes on them, and then when they start to go on bad, then you go back to them and say, you know, this is what I see. So now let's get back to the bases.
You had a tremendous year at Bowie. The entire Bowie organization did. I mean, another playoff team. You had the top batting average in the Eastern League. You had the MVP in the Eastern League. And you have a player who you got halfway through your season that, oh, by the way, is now playing right field for the Orioles. Tell us your impressions of Austin Hayes when you first saw him when he reported to the Bay Sox.
Well, when he first arrived, I saw him in spring training, and I like what I saw. But when he first arrived there with the Bay Sox, I just explained to him, listen here, you know, I saw you in spring training, but I'm looking at your numbers there in Frederick. You got real good numbers. Listen, we get here, just enjoy yourself, have some fun, and I'm not going to say anything to you. If I see something that you're doing wrong, I would address it, but other than that, I won't. And one thing that he brought to the club, and I know that the major league club, they see the very same thing. He'll give you 100%, whether he on defense or offense.
in a nice way. I describe him as a sponge. If somebody has anything to tell him, to give him advice that's going to make him a better player, he's willing to listen and at times goes out of his way to get that advice.
Absolutely. And you know, I think because I just talked to his parents just a few minutes ago, and I can see where he get that from. And his father, he was talking about the very same thing, talking about, you know, when he was in high school and college, how he would just soak up everything. He was always eager to stay late, you know, and do extra. And it showed also when he arrived to Bowie.
One player I really have to ask you about is DJ Stewart, because DJ Stewart got off to a very slow start as a pro, and as a number one pick, people noticed that. And I don't know what you did this year, but all of a sudden DJ Stewart becomes a 2020 guy, and he's back on everybody's radar.
Well, you know, people keep looking at me. No, it wasn't me. It was DJ Stewart. I just fed him some information. He bought into it. He worked hard. He came out every day. And we did our, you know, and we had our set of drills that we worked on, and he went about his business, and it showed, it paid off, and I agree, you know, he started off slow, and it was amazing because, you know, once he got going, he never stopped.
Okay, finally, I need to ask you about Ryan Mountcastle, because this kid is very intriguing. 20 years old in Double A. He wins the batting title in the Carolina League, even though he was with you about half the season. And even though he got off to a little bit of a slow start with Bowie, you got to like the way he finished and his approach at the plate.
Yeah, I do. The same thing with him when he showed up. I told him the very same thing I told Austin Hayes. I said, listen here, hey, you had a good year then, Frederick. Listen, when you come here, I just want you to play. Just have fun. Show me why you're here. I said, and don't put any pressure on yourself. And I think what happened to him coming in, he put a lot of pressure on himself. And then when he began to slow down a little bit, then his ability started to come out. So I'm looking for big things from him.
Congratulations on the award. Definitely you deserve it. And it's guys like you that help guys like Austin Hayes realize their dream. And without guys like you, they might not get there as fast as they could. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Butch Davis, a valuable coach in the Orioles minor league system. In fact, this is his 21st season in the Orioles minor league system. And tonight he was awarded the Cal Ripken Senior Player Development Award as the Coach of the Year in the minor league system's outstanding year as the Bay Sox hitting coach. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. What a ball game. What a ninth inning, huh? I mean, Tampa Bay, in the top of the ninth inning, scored four runs on a total of five hits as Logan Morrison hit a home run, and then later it was Miller with an RBI double, and then Echevarria with a two-run single. And at that point, it made it 9-1. But then the Orioles came up after a long slumber throughout the entire game, just about. Finally, they awakened in the bottom of the ninth inning and put together a stretch of six consecutive hits. And they got back in the ballgame after Kevin Cash, the Tampa Bay manager, had kind of emptied his bench. Well, the Orioles made a valiant bid to get back in the game, and they did in the bottom of the ninth inning. And they eventually had the tying run up there to hit as Trey Mancini flied out to end the game, and Tampa Bay held on to win this thing by a score of 9-6. The Orioles actually had a 1-0 lead in this game way back in the bottom of the first inning after Jeremy Hellickson had begun his game tonight with a 1-2-3 first on just 10 pitches. And then with two outs and the bases empty, bottom of the first inning, that's when Scope came up and he doubled. So he was in scoring position. Adam Jones came up to hit, and even though Adam never got the ball out of the infield, well, he put pressure on the defense and forced a Tampa Bay mistake. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Little ground ball. Right side. To his right is Duda. He's going to shovel the ball to Odorizzi. He throws it right behind him. Here's Scope coming in to score. Adam Jones is going to second. He's going to third, and he will get there. The throw much too late. Wow. On a check swing dribbler, Lucas Duda gloved it to his right, and then Odorizzi running to the bag at first base. Duda threw the ball behind him. Odorizzi could not reach it. The ball got past him. Scope scored easily, and Adam Jones takes a couple of extra bases. But then Davis struck out to end the inning. The Orioles did have a 1-0 lead. Now, Hellickson came back with a 1-2-3 second inning. In fact, Hellickson tonight began his game with eight consecutive outs. Had a 1-0 lead in the third when Echevarria came up. He singled with two outs. And then Kiermaier, he got a base hit. And so suddenly Tampa Bay had two runners on with two outs, and that's when Lucas Duda, who just made the error, well, he came up to swing a bat.
Kiermaier runs again on the 3-2, and it's ripped to right field, deep down the line. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. It's onto the flat court for a three-run homer. So Lucas Duda wins the battle on the ninth pitch. He hits it out, and Hellickson, a bad pitch out over the plate. And Lucas Duda rips it. His 13th home run with Tampa Bay, and just like that, it's a 3-1 Rays lead.
And Hellickson settled in after that. In fact, it was the only inning in which Tampa Bay scored any runs against the right-hander Jeremy Hellickson. And eventually, Tampa Bay was able to pad the lead in the top of the seventh inning. That's when, eventually, Blyer came on to pitch, and then Donnie Hart eventually came on in the eighth. But in the seventh, with one out, Souza was hit by a pitch, and then there was an error on Manny Machado. Ramos knocked in a run with a base hit, and then Miller a fly ball to pick up an RBI, and so Tampa Bay had picked up two more. That's when Echevarria came up to hit, and that's when Austin Hayes made the defensive play of so far his young major league career.
Here's Echevarria. Ramos held it second. He's there with two men down. And the Blyer pitch swung on and ripped to right field. That's deep. Hayes, a long run at the scoreboard, makes a leaping catch. Oh, what a play by Hayes. A leaping catch against the wall. He takes an extra base hit away from Echevarria and saves a run. What a play by Austin Hayes. Leaping grab against the wall to end the inning. And he denies Echevarria.
But eventually, yeah, great play by Austin Hayes. So a memorable moment for him. But at that point, Tampa Bay was in command. And they would really be in command after a four-run ninth inning. Logan Morrison with a leadoff home run. And then later, Miller an RBI double. And then Echevarria with a two-run single. And Tampa Bay was enjoying a 9-1 lead. At that point, Kevin Cash, the Rays skipper, kind of emptied his bench. Made a bunch of defensive changes at the same time. But then here come the Orioles in the bottom of the ninth inning. Trey Mancini began with a base hit. And then Trumbo, he got a base hit. And then Castillo, he doubled in a run. And then Austin Hayes came up to hit. And now Hayes, he lines it, left field corner. That ball is fair in the corner. That's going to be extra bases. Trumbo is in. Here's Castillo. He rumbles in. And for Austin Hayes, that's a two-run double. His Major League RBI is number 7 and 8 for Austin Hayes. It is 9-4. Yeah, 9-4. And then Beckham came up to hit an infield single. At that point, the Orioles had 6 consecutive hits. Went to the bullpen. Machado came up against Tommy Hunter. And the 1-0 delivery, Manny, ground ball toward the hole. And right past Robertson. That's a base hit. So Hayes coming in, and he will score. The ball back into the middle of the infield. It is now 9-5 as Manny Machado picks up an RBI single. And the Orioles now with 6 consecutive hits in the bottom of the ninth inning. And suddenly it's a 4-run game, and there are 2 aboard and with nobody out. Indeed, Machado picked up his 95th RBI. But then they got Tommy Hunter did get 2 outs. Scope a fly ball out, and then Jones a strikeout. But then Davis came up to hit, and he extended the game. Here's the pitch. Line drive, that's a base hit to right field. So here's Hardy being waved in. He will score. And there goes Machado. He goes to third. The throw there is too late. It is 9-6. Now it's a 3-run game. And Trey Mancini, the would-be tying run, is coming up to hit with 2 outs. So Davis wasted no time in extending the game. There you go. Exit Tommy Hunter. Enter Colome, the closer for Tampa Bay. And Trey Mancini came up to hit. Mancini, who had begun the rally with a leadoff single. Well, as it turned out, he was the innings and the game's last out. Colome is ready again. Mancini digs in. And the 1-0 pitch. Fly ball, right center. On the run is Souza, and so is Pueyo. Pueyo is there in the gap to make the catch. And that's how the game ends. But boy, the Orioles made a bid in the bottom of the ninth inning. They were down 9-1 when the inning started, and they actually got the tying run up there to hit. And the game ends on a fly ball out. So they're in the loss column again tonight. But at least tonight they made it interesting in the ninth inning. They did. Same two teams again tomorrow in the season Camden Yards finale. And Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter at Camden Yards as Tampa Bay beats the Orioles 9-6. And with this loss and Minnesota's win at Detroit, the Orioles now officially eliminated from playoff contention. As the Orioles suffer the loss here, their record now 74-82. And they also now are assured of a losing season, which snaps their five consecutive seasons of non-losing seasons, which began in 2012 and ran through last year, 2016. Time to hear for the skipper. Let's head downstairs. And post-game comments now from Buck Showalter.
Yeah, we didn't do much offensively. We got a gift in the first inning. And obviously, Odorizzi's good, and I'm always going to give them credit. But, you know, we've been struggling offensively, obviously. And, you know, mount something there, put a lot together, and get the time run to the plate. I think you probably could have taken a lot of bets, but that was good to see.
What did you think of Hellickson tonight?
Good. Gave us a good chance to win. Solid 90, 91, whatever pitch. That's where we were hoping to take him, and gave us a good chance to win. We just, you know, he deserved probably a little better fate, but it's good to see him rebound from his last outing.
What was the situation there with Beckham leaving the game?
Didn't feel pop. Don't think, you know, he's had similar, you know, I'm not going to get into all the terms that Richie just used, you know, knowing the history a little bit. I'd say doubtful for tomorrow, but I'm hoping we caught it before it would turn into something that, you know, would end his season, but we'll see. We've got, you know, a couple off days coming up, believe it or not.
Was it his hamstring, though? I saw him grab that on the replay.
I think that's what I said, right? I probably didn't. Yeah, hamstring. Shouldn't have assumed.
Like, I'm not just trying to look for a shining light, but
that's quite okay. Go right ahead.
Austin Hayes' catch.
Yeah, that's as good as you'll see.
That's as good as you'll see.
Yep. Timing had to be just right to not to get at it with all your teeth, too. A lot of tough plays. You know, it's funny, the last ball he caught may have looked like, you know, when a right-hander hits the ball that way with a spin, the ball actually comes back at the end. Same thing happened with Trey off the left-handed bat. And these are two young, inexperienced up here guys that are learning these things on the job, that sometimes once you draw a bead on it, you got to slow down and know that there's so many things guys do up here. Hitters impart more backspin and side spin because they have more bat speed. The balls go through the infield half count quicker. They're half step faster down the line. The whole get there, you know, the speed of the game and the things happen at a faster pace. I was talking to Austin the other day. You know, always ask him, what do you see? You know, what are you feeling? What caught you by surprise? What hasn't? And one of the things he's talking about is the speed of the game. Not necessarily. It's just things happen faster. Whether it's throws, whether it's runners, whether it's pitchers, whether it's sliders, it's a different pace of game, and that's a common thing you hear from young players.
I know your adage is to not.
Pardon?
I know your adage is not to get fooled by what you see in September or March sometimes, but you've got to really like what you're seeing with him.
Well, I'd like rather him be doing well and making us think whether that could continue at whatever level he's at next year. But, you know, I'd a lot rather him be doing some good athletic things that you look for in a player that you can trust to be a contributor.
I guess the opposite of a silver lining would be that this loss ensured a losing record and that the playoffs are kind of out of the – you guys are eliminated from the playoffs. Does that change anything both in that room and with you going forward?
I told somebody that if that happens, let me know, then I'd readdress it then. So that's something I'll have to look at now that you've brought it up. I appreciate that. So take the good with the bad. No, I haven't looked at any of that stuff. We've all been tunnel vision, trying to win as many games in a row as we can, see where it takes us. So if that is the case, I'm sure I don't need to check your math, but I've tried to stay out of that mentality. So if it is the case, we'll readdress where we are. Good? Okay, thank you.
Post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles are eliminated from playoff contention with a 9-6 loss to Tampa Bay and Minnesota's win over Detroit.